I was going to remark to the young people, those of you who dreamt of a white Christmas, enjoy it. This past week I was talking to a man with whom I've been counseling for a good many weeks. Monday night I spoke with him at length, and he told me, he says, "I'm afraid to face tomorrow." He said, "I'm just so filled with fear and frustration." And he says, "I'm just not looking forward to tomorrow." I thought, as I have spoken to this man and as this man has expressed his thoughts and his inner feelings to me, I thought, not only does this man feel the way he does, filled with fear and frustration, without any hope, nothing to look forward to as far as any relief from his frustrations, but how so much we feel, and we find this in our own world in which we are living. We have entered upon the Christmas season. In our nation, there is a temporary relief from the frustrations and anxieties and that which we are faced with day to day. And we have, at this season, a temporary relief. There's much happiness, I'm sure, the result of giving of gifts and much, you know, visiting with friends and relatives. But this will pass. This will pass shortly. It takes just a day or two and it's all over, and we face the new year, and then as we face the new year, we wonder as to what lies ahead. And in our nation, we thank the Lord that we do have a measure of peace. But now, when I'm thinking of other places and other nations and other peoples throughout our world, we find there is so much unrest, so much that is going on that men cannot find peace. We look at a nation like Lebanon and other areas in our world where there isn't peace, there isn't the joy. And if we were to talk to any one individual in those circumstances, we would be talking to those or to one who perhaps can't see the light in a dark tunnel. And so it was, as we introduce our subject here this morning, we're referring to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we consider that which we read in Scripture, we go back to the Old Testament, and this morning we were referring to some verses from the book of Isaiah. But just to give you a background as to when this prophecy was given by God to a man called Isaiah, the prophet, what was the situation then? It was about 700 years, in 740 B.C., approximately around that time, when the nation Israel was split. They were one at one time under David and his son Solomon, and after Solomon died, there was a split, a division in Israel. 10 tribes, the north went one in one direction, and they were called Israel. And then there was the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, went in another direction, which was called the northern tribes and the southern tribes. And yet there was so much conflict even amongst themselves, wars amongst themselves, warring and being attacked by the enemy. This was a situation that Israel was living under, the nation Israel. They were divided. There was spiritual declension. There was spiritual darkness, living in all spiritual darkness. And we wonder, living under those conditions, we wonder, is there any hope? Is there any light? Has God forgotten us? I'm sure so often as we go through, as we face trials, and we're going through some deep waters, so often the expression, we do express our thoughts, where is the Lord? Where is God? And it was at this time when Isaiah received a message, as we read in chapter 7 of Isaiah, the prophetic annunciation as we consider this. A nation that's divided, a nation at war with one another, being attacked by the enemy from the outside, living under constant fear, no joy, no peace. And God reveals this message to his servant Isaiah as we read in chapter 7, at verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, as we've been hearing this morning. Emmanuel, God with us. Amidst all of this, amidst darkness, war, anxiety, concern, and even thinking perhaps that God has forsaken us. And here the message comes to Isaiah prophetically: a virgin shall conceive, a sign will be given, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name, and shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. Now there's a very important portion here, and a very important word, and that is this: behold, the virgin shall conceive. And we shall talk of this in a few moments. A very important thing to consider: a virgin shall conceive. And one of the things, as we think of Christianity, and if I call myself a Christian, one of the important things I must believe in, and that is this: that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Very important. A very important doctrine. If I call myself a Christian, I must believe this very fundamental truth, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And we see this 700 years prior to the fulfillment of this prophecy. 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Again, in the 9th chapter, as we consider verse 6, again, Isaiah receives this message: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Messianic titles concerning this one: a son shall be given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a son is given. What a wonderful message. In a time of spiritual darkness, in a time where there isn't peace, a message is given that a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Fundamental truth number 2. If I call myself a Christian, first of all, I must believe that he was born of a virgin. Secondly, that he is deity. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born, the Son of God, he came into this world. And when that child was born, God with us, a wonderful Savior. And as we think of some of these names: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, unto us a son is given, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We think of another portion of Scripture in Micah, thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his birth. We see it prophetically in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Micah, the 5th chapter. And again we read in verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall be come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You see how this is brings us down to this very thing. Speaking of a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when we come to Micah, again, we read that he shall be born in Bethlehem. That's what makes it interesting. When we turn to the scriptures, and as we turn to the Bible, this is what makes it the Word of God. And one of the things concerning the Word of God, as we say that we believe that this is the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and how can we prove it? One of the proofs is the prophetic utterances and their fulfillments. You know, when we come to the New Testament, as we shall be turning now to the New Testament, we concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are at least 15 or 16 prophetic utterances in the Old Testament concerning his birth. And we see the fulfillment of these prophetic utterances in the New Testament. We look back now, 1975 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and as we open to the New Testament, we see how prophecy has been fulfilled in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what makes it the Word of God. We believe the Scriptures that from cover to cover, that what God through His Holy Spirit has given to His servants, these are prophetic utterances. This is the Word of God, and we believe that this is what God has given to us. As we turn to the Scriptures, we find that God reveals Himself to us through the Scriptures. And in here we find what God has given to us in His dear Son. And so we find as the prophetic utterances in the Old Testament, we find that God has given to us in His Word concerning the birth of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we turn to the New Testament, first of all, as we were reading in the first chapter of Luke, we find the angelic annunciations. First of all, there were the prophetic announcements given to the Lord's servants in the Old Testament. We come to the first chapter of Luke, and we find there the angelic annunciations concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, we find that it is Mary who is confronted by the angel. It is Mary to whom the angel comes and gives this announcement concerning that she will be used of the Lord to bear this child. And as we see through, as we read in the scripture, we see this then. Behold, in verse 31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Jehovah our salvation. That's the thought. Jehovah our salvation. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. It's interesting that Mary, first of all, receives the angelic announcement concerning her situation. And I could understand this as she has been told of this. Here was one who was pledged to be married to a man called Joseph. Pledged to be married to him. And before they came together, she was with child. As the angel announces to her that she will bear a son. And his name shall be called Jesus. What a beautiful and what a wonderful privilege for Mary to bear that child, the Son of God. And so we find as we consider this, that Mary has been given this privilege to bear that son and bring him into this world. Not only do we find that the angel appears to Mary, but as Joseph, as we read in the first chapter of Matthew, as Joseph himself considers, realizing the situation that here was one who was pledged to be married to him, she was with child. And as we see this, the angel comes to Joseph. The angel comes to Joseph and announces this very thing concerning that one who would become his wife. She's already with child, and he was ready to put her away. But the angel speaks to Joseph and says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son. 700 years after the prophetic message, after Isaiah received this revelation that a son shall be born, 700 years later, it was fulfilled as we see here. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now here's a thought. For he shall save his people from their sins. As a young man, as a young boy, I've enjoyed the Christmas season year after year, and I look forward to this, as a boy, to receive the gifts. And it brought about a measure of joy to me, happiness, as a child, living in a home where I enjoyed the love of my parents, and receiving these gifts, and I've always looked forward to the Christmas season. I grew up as a teenager, and Christmas season brought to me a measure of joy, a measure of happiness, but it soon disappeared, as I referred to the earlier part of my message here. But there was a time as I was in my 20s, and I realized the Christmas message, and I knew that Christ was born in Bethlehem, and all of these things concerning the Christmas message. But there was a time when I was at the age of 26 that something else was brought before my attention, and it was revealed to me by God's Holy Spirit that this same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem's manger was the Savior of sinners. And that changed the whole picture for me. When I realized that Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem's manger, this one who came into this world, came to save me from my sins. And it was at this point that there was true joy in my heart, when I realized that not only was there a Jesus that was born in Bethlehem's manger in swaddling clothes, but that one who was born came into this world for the express purpose of giving his life for me. That's why he was born. And when I realized that Jesus Christ became my Savior, my whole life was changed. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as this message was given to Joseph, that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to just to emphasize this, because as we come to verse 23, in reference to the prophetic message, as Joseph was given this announcement, he says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us." I mentioned how important it is to realize and to believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Because in our society, in our generation, and from many pulpits in the name of Christianity, there are those who will not believe this vital truth. It's important. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ back in the middle of 1940s during the war, shortly after the war was over, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was, at that particular time, I was made aware of this very thing. Because there were those in the name of Christianity who were denouncing this very thing. They could not accept this thought that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And so there was that conflict going on amongst those who believed in the fundamental truths of the Bible and those who were going according to the philosophies or the thinking of what we call higher criticism, rationalizing scripture, liberal thinking. And there was this conflict going on, and the place where I was saved and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ was adhering and holding to this very truth. And really, there was much controversy concerning this in that particular time, that Jesus Christ truly was born of a virgin. Now, why do we say that? Because as we read in Scripture, that as when we realize the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that he was born without a human father. He was born of God's Holy Spirit because he was born without sin. Everyone else born into this world through a human father was born in sin. But when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee," the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he was born without sin. And God used this means. He used a virgin to bring forth that holy child who was born without sin. Everyone else born into this world was born in sin. But when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners was born without sin. And it was this one who went to Calvary's cross, the one who knew no sin. In him was no sin, and he did no sin. yet he became sin for us. And so as we think of this, the message that was given to Joseph, that holy thing, I was speaking of Mary, that one who was going to become his wife, the one who was with child, the one he was ready to put away, it says this as he finished. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. You know, we go to the second chapter of Luke again. We talk about the annunciation of the angelic announcements, but what do we find in chapter 2, verses 8 to 14? Not only did the angel bring this message to Mary that she was going to bear that son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only did the angel come to Joseph and reveal this to him, that the young lady who was going to become his wife, the one who was with child already, was this, that it was of the Holy Spirit. But now we find that the shepherds also, as they were abiding in the field by night, the angel came and made this announcement, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Again, point number 3, as we were considering, if I call myself a Christian, I believe that he was born of a virgin, first of all. Secondly, that he is God, he is deity, not just another man, not just a good man, not just a prophet, but he was the Son of God. We read in Gospel of John, the first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Not a God, but the Word was God. And the 14th verse tells us in that first chapter, "And the Word became flesh." God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He came into our world where we are, where we were. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into our world. And the Word became flesh. And that holy thing which was born of the Virgin Mary was the Son of God, deity. Point number 2. Point number 3. If I call myself a Christian, I must believe that he gave his life, and he died on the cross of Calvary, a sin-atoning death. He died for me. This one who came into our world, who was born without sin, and he came to give his life a ransom, went to Calvary's cross and laid down his life to give his life a ransom, and to shed his precious blood that my sins might be cleansed. Savior of sinners, for he shall save his people from their sins. How can a Savior save his people from their sins? By giving his life and shedding his blood. You know, those that who lived in Israel and who were acquainted with the sacrifices in the Old Testament and the temple worship and the priesthood, as they sacrificed for the sins that they have committed. And in the Old Testament, when a sacrifice or a sin offering was given, it just covered their sins. But thanks be unto God, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he washed away my sin and your sin. He cleansed us from all sin. What a wonderful Savior. So point number 3, that this one who was born of a virgin, who was God manifest in flesh, died on Calvary's cross as a Savior of sin, as a sin-atoning death. And so if I call myself a Christian, I must believe that. And how wonderful, as we consider the shepherds. Here's an interesting thought. And it says, the angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." We mention and we refer to a word, happiness. Things that come into my life and come my way, things which I have in life, will bring me a measure of happiness. And generally, it speaks of good health. And when I have good health, I'm happy. If things come my way, as far as material gains are concerned, I'm happy. If I have a good job, I'm happy. However, when I look within my own soul, heart and soul, as I think of life, and the older I get, as I realize that my life is coming to an end shortly, I often make a remark when they ask me, how are you feeling? Well, In the terms of baseball, I said, I'm coming down from home, third base to home plate as you get older. And so we find ourselves as we coming to the end of life. What's beyond that? What's beyond? What's beyond? And I thank God for this thought, that I know that Christ is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. And I have that blessed hope that I'm going to see Him face to face. And this is what brings me joy. I have joy in my heart because Jesus Christ is a reality to me. And He can be to you. Not just one who just was born in Bethlehem's manger. And not just an time of the season where we just give out gifts and we sing these Christmas carols. I thank God for the Christmas carols because it reminds us of one who came into our world and was born in Bethlehem's manger to become our Savior. And so we find as the angels announce the tidings of joy, of great joy, which shall be to all people. And this could be yours this morning, that Jesus Christ is a reality to you. Not only that, we find in verse 14, glory to God as the angels praise God, as that praise went forth. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. And there's joy and there's peace through knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. We read in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful to know that I can have peace with God, but it is only as Jesus Christ is my Savior. And if I'm a Christian and I have peace with God, and as I'm faced with the difficulties and trials of life, I can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is through Him that I have strength. It is through the Lord that I have the joy and that wonderful peace. I can rest in Him, that know that my times are in His hands. And so, as the announcement was made to the shepherds, spoke of good tidings of great joy, glad tidings of great joy, and peace on earth. But this wonderful thought, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. You know, when we think of the Lord, when we think of that name Jesus, we think of one who was rejected. We think of one who was despised. We think of one who was crucified on Calvary's cross. As we read in the scriptures, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross, there we read, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. When we think of that name, Jehovah is salvation, we think of one who was rejected, despised, crucified. And thanks be unto God, He was resurrected. But when we talk about Christ, who is Christ the Lord, Christus, or the Messiah, the Anointed One, we think of His pre-existence. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was from eternity to eternity. Everlasting, eternal. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, He was already pre-existed. But a body was prepared Him, as we read in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. A body was prepared Him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ created all things, as we read, for His glory, for His pleasure. But as we think of this name, Christ the Lord, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the One who pre-existed from eternity to eternity, He's always there. Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, we think of one more revelation, and that was when Simeon, when we think of the Simeon receiving this as he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, as he beheld Him, we read in verses, in chapter 2 and verses 25 through and 26, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so we find that as these who saw the Lord, and as they had the announcement, and as the Spirit of God spoke to them, it brought joy. Now, it's one thing to have the message revealed. It's one thing to hear the gospel. It's one thing to know what's involved here. But there has to be a response. There must be a response, and there is a response. We read it when the announcement was made to Mary, and what do we find? She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior." That was her response. Joseph obeyed the angel announced to him the situation. And what happened? Joseph responded by obeying, and he took unto him Mary, his wife. And as far as the shepherds were concerned, they responded, and they went to see the Christ child. And Simeon responded in as he prophesied concerning the Messiah. What is your response this morning? Neutral you cannot be. You can't be neutral. Here's the message that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world that he could be your Savior and your Redeemer. It is God's gift to you. John 3:16. How often have we quoted that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave his only begotten Son, his gift to you. What is your response? We read in first chapter of John, to as many as received him, a gift must be received. A gift must be received. I cannot understand what would be your reaction if you wanted to give a gift to a loved one and it was refused. And that's what millions are doing in our world today. They're refusing God's gift. But we read in 1st chapter John in verse 12, to as many as received him, to as many as received God's gift, to as many as received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It means taking Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, we talked about 3 points. There are 5 points concerning the faith. As if I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, if I call myself a Christian, first of all, I believe that he was born of a virgin. Secondly, that he was God himself, deity. Thirdly, that he died on the cross, a sin atoning death for my sins. Fourthly, that he was raised again the third day. Fifthly, that he's coming back again, because the prophecy says he's going to be a ruler in Israel. Thanks be unto God that he's coming back again. Just as the prophecy has been fulfilled in his birth, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ was going to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And he was. He was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. We have prophecy that he's coming back again. And he's going to rule and reign upon this earth. And thanks be unto God that we who have received him as our Savior are going to rule and reign with him. That's the blessed hope. We're going to be with him for all eternity. Now this morning I would like to ask you, as you know and are acquainted with the gospel message, and you're acquainted with the Christmas message, that it is Jesus Christ who was born in Bethlehem's manger, the Savior of sinners. He became your Savior. What is your response this morning to this gift, to the message? What is your response? Neutral you cannot be. Would you receive him this morning? You've gone through life, perhaps. Many years have passed in your life. You've perhaps enjoyed the Christmas season as there was the giving of packages or gifts. But will you this morning receive him as your Savior and Lord and have that joy and the peace which can only come in your soul, to within your soul, through receiving him as your Lord and Savior? May it be so for his name's sake.